It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. President Trump outraged today at the New York Times after it published an unsubstantiated story about Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Howard Kurtz is host of Media Buzz on Fox News.
What happened was nothing short of journalistic malpractice by the New York Times. It is irresponsible to make a charge of this magnitude against a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Former Congressman, federal prosecutor Trey Gowdy, appalled that so many of the Democratic presidential candidates would call for Kavanaugh's impeachment based on this discredited report.
Impeachment is tantamount to the death penalty. And that's not hyperbolic. It is the political death penalty. No victim, an eyewitness, no one has corroborated, no one's examined or cross-examined, and failed to bring it up when he had an opportunity in the past. Six Democrats are willing to give the death penalty for that.
The New York Times article quotes a woman making claims of sexual harassment against Kavanaugh, even though she could not recall the incident. Broadcasting legend Cokie Roberts has died. She was 75. The ABC News political commentator won three Emmys, wrote eight books, and was named a living legend by the Library of Congress. Gasoline prices expected to jump after the weekend attack on Saudi oil in the Middle East.
Drivers can expect to pay more at the pump in the coming days. And in fact, in some areas, these price increases at the pump could be as much as a quarter per gallon over the course of a month.
Doug Shoup with AAA. Patrick DeHaan is with GasBuddy.com.
Consumers could face steeper hikes than 25 to 40 cents a gallon, and the hikes could last up to Thanksgiving.
President Trump says he's not worried.
We don't want to panic.
President Trump downplayed the impact of the Saudi oil attack on gas prices last night in New Mexico.
But a few years ago, they would have been in a panic. Today, we got a lot of oil, we got a lot of gas.
Earlier at the White House, the commander-in-chief suggested Iran is behind last weekend's attack on two Saudi Arabian oil plants.
We're certainly looking that way at this moment.
And while he added that he'd like to avoid military conflict,
do I want war? I don't want war with anybody.
He left the door open to an armed response.
Correspondent Laura Podest, it's day two of the workers' strike at 50 General Motors plants all across America.
How are your negotiations going right now?
Not good at all. That's why we're on strike.
The United Auto Workers say they will walk the picket lines for as long as it takes to get their demands met.
They want to give us a 35-cent raise. What is 35 cents when you're paying 15% of your health care? 35 cents is nothing.
Union bosses have told the rank and file to be prepared to strike for as long as 6 months.
We're going to be here until we get contracts. Guys, ain't that right, guys? We're going to be here. We're going to be here until they hear us, and we're not going to move. We're going to stand in line.
The job action impacts 49,000 workers across the nation, including 3,000 in western New York. Overseas, it's election day in Israel.
Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu is fighting for his political survival after failing to form a government following elections 5 months ago. His base remains strong.
Bibi is part of the Israeli political landscape. I believe in Netanyahu.
But he has been dogged by corruption scandals.
I won't be voting for Bibi. I'm ready for change.
Netanyahu faces a tough challenge from former General Benny Gantz. Robert Berger, Jerusalem.
More than 30 people lost their lives today in a pair of suicide bombings in war-torn Afghanistan.
It happened in the middle of a crowd near an election rally for President Ashraf Ghani. We contacted his spokesman who told us President and his entourage were unhurt and, as a matter of fact, even continued that rally anyway. The second one, that happened here in Kabul, maybe around 200 yards from the U.S. Embassy.
Correspondent Charlie Daggett, there's progress to report in bringing down the child death rate on planet Earth.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation reporting that child mortality is falling in almost every part of the world not touched by war or political upheaval. Two decades ago, nearly 10 million children died before their fifth birthday. By 2017, that number had been cut nearly in half, even as the world's population grew by more than a billion people. A sign that fighting child poverty and such childhood killer diseases as diarrhea, and malaria can and do get results.
Correspondent Vicky Barker, pro-life advocates demanding an investigation into an abortion doctor from South Bend, Indiana. This guy filled his property with the remains of aborted babies.
We can't breathe life back into the bodies of these babies discovered at Klopfer's residence, but we can demand justice for them.
Kathy Humbarger with Indiana Right to Life.
Discovery of 2,246 bodies of aborted babies at Klopfer's residence is a tragic epilogue to a twisted life.
The Indiana doctor died earlier this month. The California man has become the seventh person across this country to die from vaping. The Centers for Disease Control now investigating nearly 400 cases of lung illness linked to e-cigarette use. The popular heartburn medicine Zantac's been linked to cancer in a couple of Florida patients. Dr. John Torres with NBC News has some advice for Zantac users.
If somebody's concerned, they can switch to other similar type medications, and if they want to stop altogether, it's best to slowly stop and then talk to your doctor about different ways you can keep your heartburn under control.
The FDA looking into these cancer claims. Jeopardy host Alex Trebek undergoing more chemotherapy after being diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Occasionally it will cause excruciating pain in my lower back. Other times it's fatigue. Other times it's nausea.
The 79-year-old was first diagnosed back in March.
There are moments when for no reason at all, I feel this surge of sadness, depression. Doesn't last very long, but it just takes over my whole being.
Trebek talked about his own mortality on Good Morning America today.
There is an end in sight for me, just as there is for everyone else. And the thought of passing on doesn't frighten me. It doesn't.
Trebek in the process of filming the 36th season of Jeopardy. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, New Yorkers don't want new license plates. School choice debate heating up in Harrisburg, and an update on the Porch Boy from Buffalo.
Good afternoon. Well, we're on cruise control weather-wise with a run of beautiful days ahead. I'll be back happily sharing the good forecast news coming up in about 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Checking some of the stories that are making news where you live today across New York and Pennsylvania. Pro-lifers in Pennsylvania are encouraged to contact their state senators next Monday. That is when the 12-day fall session begins. The Pennsylvania Senate is under pressure to act on the Down Syndrome Protection Act, which has already passed the state house.
Folks, this country has come a long way when it comes to rights with folks with disabilities. Well, it's going to start by Pennsylvania passing a law that right starts with a right to live.
That's Pennsylvania State Senator Scott Martin.
What we're trying to do here now is to prevent what I would call probably one of the largest forms of discrimination you can think of. And that's discriminating against someone that potentially may have a diagnosis of Down syndrome.
70% of babies diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb end up being aborted in Pennsylvania. There's a battle brewing over paid surrogacy in New York. Women's rights groups and conservative activists argue the practice is unethical and exploitive.
In essence, you could go out and rent a woman's womb, have her carry a child for you, and then declare that child is yours. What's concerning in this particular piece of legislation, there was a definite disconnect between biology and parenthood. And that's the issue that I think Christians need to be aware of, is there is increasing movement to completely deny that there is a biological connection and a biological reality to parenthood.
Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Lawmakers will try next year to get contractual surrogacy legalized. McGuire calls it Governor Cuomo's gift to powerful gay and lesbian lobbyists. Rallying for red flag legislation in Pennsylvania, a gun control group took to the steps of the Capitol Rotunda today in Harrisburg. They want the state to pass a red flag bill. The measure would allow police or family members to seek a court order that temporarily removes guns from folks who are deemed a threat to themselves or others. Critics say the law is an erosion of the Second Amendment, and in a state like Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, where hunting is so popular, this legislation faces an uphill battle. Buffalo police investigating whether there's a connection between an abandoned three-year-old boy and human remains found in a burned-out car nearby. The boy was found alive on the porch of a home early Monday.
I picked him up and hugged him, and he hugged me. But it was so heartbreaking, I'm telling you.
Lois Osberger found the child wrapped in a blanket, wearing only a diaper. He was sleeping in a cardboard box that she leaves out for stray cats.
He was crawling out of the box. He heard me. He must have heard me open the door. And he come crawling out of the box. And he had the blanket around him. It's a terrible thing. You know, I expect to see cats out here, not a little boy.
The Buffalo Porch Boy, as he's now known, currently in the custody of Child Protective Services. The Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health will be holding its first Human Trafficking Summit on October 29th in State College. Family Life's Terry Diener.
The summit will focus on national and state efforts to address human trafficking, the law enforcement response to trafficking, and community and healthcare facility-based strategies and education to address trafficking. Human trafficking is not just a global issue, but a local issue. According to data from the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 275 cases of human trafficking were reported in 2018 in Pennsylvania, ranking the state 11th in the country for human trafficking. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
All right, Terry, thank you. Activists rallied in Harrisburg yesterday to protest Governor Wolf's plan to crack down on school choice. The governor wants to cap enrollment and issue a moratorium on new cyber charter schools.
If your goal is to attack charter schools, then we will push back.
Charter schools are publicly financed but privately run. Last year, they received nearly $2 billion in taxpayer assistance. Public school activist Sue Spica supports the governor's call to hold these schools more accountable.
This isn't about taking away people's choice. This isn't about closing down cyber charter schools. This is about getting funding in alignment with what it actually costs to educate a kid at home on a computer.
About 140,000 Pennsylvania students are enrolled in charter schools. A new Siena College poll today shows by a 2-1 margin, New Yorkers oppose new license plate requirements. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Yeah, Bob, it's an unpopular move by the governor. Andrew Cuomo has mandated that motorists turn in license plates that are at least 10 years old. The state has instituted a $25 fee for new plates. If you want to keep your old number, that'll cost you another $20. The move impacts some 3 million drivers across New York. The license plate requirement takes effect next spring. Residents will be able to vote on a new license plate design. Siena pollsters also found a majority of New Yorkers oppose the state's green light law, which grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you. New York college kids weighing in on the governor's new vaping ban. The executive order forbids the sale of flavored e-cigarettes. These Binghamton University students have mixed opinions about the prohibition.
If there were just tobacco flavors or more adverse flavors that kids won't enjoy as much, it would definitely do a lot to lessen the impact on the youth.
Yeah, a lot of kids like using it for the flavors, so I feel like if you limit the flavors, then a lot of less people might use it.
At the end of the day, if you're going to try and vape, you're going to figure out a way to vape just like any other thing that you find to do, because you get what you want.
I think people will still be able to get them no matter what, illegally probably.
The flavored e-cigarette ban takes effect before the end of the month. Now, as part of this executive action, New York State will be ramping up undercover investigations. Police will be cracking down on retailers who sell vaping products to underage youth. Dairy farmers and local legislators asking for answers after a recent proposal to ban chocolate milk in New York City schools.
When I heard a few weeks ago that the city was considering banning flavored milk, like chocolate milk, I almost had a cow.
Congressman Anthony Brindisi says the chocolate milk ban would hurt the dairy industry in the Southern Tier. He's calling on New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio to stand up for farmers.
Hey, look, you're running for president. I don't know how someone who's running for president expects to relate to folks in rural Iowa when you're sticking it to dairy farmers here in upstate New York, your home state. Recognize the important nutritional benefits that chocolate milk provides, and make sure it's an option for students in New York City schools.
The president of the New York Farm Bureau has sent a letter to the chancellor of New York City schools asking him, on behalf of the state's 4,000 dairy farms, to drop the proposed chocolate milk ban. We're coming up on 14 past the hour. The Browns beat the Jets. Sports next, the two-minute drill.
Yeah, Bob, Monday night was all about Odell Beckham Jr.
How about it, Odell Beckham Jr.? 89-yard touchdown.
OBJ started his career in MetLife Stadium and put on a show last night in the Browns' 23-3 win against the Jets. Baker Mayfield will take it.
Anytime you went on the road, feels good. You want to go out on the road and steal a couple victories throughout the season, and it's a good start for us.
Jets backup quarterback Trevor Siemian hobbled off with an ankle injury. Luke Falk comes in and goes 20 of 25 for 198 yards in relief.
Just in some critical moments, we got to find a way to execute. You know, wish I had a few plays back, but overall I thought we did some positive things.
Luke Falk expected to start against the Patriots as the Jets are 0-2. Giants are 0-2 and making a change. Daniel Jones taking over as starting quarterback over Eli Manning, the two-time Super Bowl MVP, benched. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger benched for the rest of the year due to that elbow injury. He does plan to return next season. Mason Rudolph takes over for now. The Saints' Drew Brees expected to miss at least 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb. Teddy Bridgewater assumes the starting role in his place. And the Steelers traded for a Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. Not Ryan, the quarterback, but Minka, the safety. The Fins will get a 2020 first-round pick in return. Major League Baseball, Rockies beat the Mets 9-4. The Mets have lost for the third time in four games. They're five games out of the National League wild card. Mets starter and loser, Steven Matz.
We can't really think about that too much. We're just going to, you know, keep our focus. We've been in a hole in the season before, and we just got to go and play our best baseball.
In Minneapolis, Twins continue to look good, beating the White Sox 5-3. The Twins have won 3 of 4. They have a five-game lead over Cleveland in the American League Central. And the Sabres and Penguins put on a show last night at State College, with the Sabres winning 5-4 in overtime, NHL preseason. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you very much, Sonny. Still to come, striking workers, journalistic malpractice, and a prayer ministry for drug addicts. It's today's Hometown Hero.
Not only is Christ sovereign over every square inch, he's sovereign over every split second. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. One of my all-time favorite quotes comes from Abraham Kuyper, and it was repeated over and over by Chuck Colson. There's not a single square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry out, "Mine." Now, working out the implications of that grand truth in the reality of our everyday lives, well, that would take a lifetime. As Christians, we often acknowledge Christ's rule over things like human dignity, marriage, maybe even our finances, but we often miss how central a Christian view of time is to a truly Christian worldview. Thus, we find our time hijacked, assumed, taken for granted, killed, wasted, even forgotten. Well, Oz Guinness thinks it's time to change our view of time. His new book, Carpe Diem Redeem, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times, explores and explains how different views of time shape our culture and our individual lives. For example, Eastern religions embrace a cyclical view of time. All that is, once was, and will be over again. In this conception, history runs kind of like a wheel, forever returning to the same point. Even we, in a sense, will return according to this view, reincarnated according to the dictates of karma. The cyclical view ultimately robs our lives of meaning, because our choices change nothing. Time and everything in it are illusions. Salvation consists of escaping the cycle, and along with it, every love, longing, and purpose we know as human beings. The chronological view of time is the one that dominates our culture, according to Guinness, and it's held by both optimist and pessimist. Enlightenment thinkers, and even many secularists today, see time as that inevitable upward march toward greater knowledge, greater peace, greater civilization. We started as apes, but we're on our way to becoming gods. After two world wars, the Holocaust, communism, and Islamic terrorism, chronological optimists are, well, more rare than they used to be. More common, especially in pop culture, are chronological pessimists. They, to quote Shakespeare, view time and history as a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. For chronological pessimist, all that's left is to seize the day in that Dave Matthews and Dead Poets Society sort of way. In other words, just live it up while we can, for tomorrow we die. What so many Christians miss is just how revolutionary the Judeo-Christian view of time is, over and against these other views. Guinness calls it a covenantal understanding of time, the view that the structure and purpose of history have been revealed by a God who stands outside of it, having created it. Genesis' opening line, "In the beginning God," frames this view, and the rest of Scripture points to a grand purpose which is being wrought by our Creator in partnership with His image bearers. The covenantal view of time is the unique contribution of the Judeo-Christian worldview. History's goal is neither utopian fantasy nor nihilistic despair. Even history's darkest evils cannot thwart that for which time was instituted. And we, as humans, have a part to play. Our actions matter. Human enterprise has significance and solidity, Guinness writes, under and alongside God. History is transformed from terror into task. Grasping this view of time allows us to live what Guinness calls prophetically untimely lives, precisely because we know how the story ends. But Guinness also goes beyond the heady theories to offer practical ideas on how to rightly seize the day, how to break out of our slavery to the clock, to know how to work and to rest and to worship in light of this Christian understanding of time. When you can request a copy of Redeeming Carpe Diem, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times, with your next donation to the Colson Center. You can hear more about it directly from Oz Guinness himself on a free Colson Center webinar tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern. Just come to breakpoint.org to register. If the time doesn't work, you still want to register in order to get a recording of this session with Oz Guinness. Again, come to breakpoint.org to register. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
21 past the hour. Let's check weather next with Kevin Williams. Kevin, thank you very much. Mild days, cool nights, couldn't ask for anything more. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for being with us today. Here's what's going on this Tuesday, the 17th of September. President Trump is taking the New York Times to task over its treatment of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
The Times reported a new sexual misconduct allegation against Kavanaugh during his college days, but the newspaper later clarified its failure to say that the woman supposedly involved did not remember the alleged incident.
They've just announced there's a correction, but to do that about a Supreme Court justice is a terrible thing. It's a false accusation.
The president complained that the Times is destroying lives and faulted the paper for not fact-checking.
Correspondent Greg Clugston, six of the Democratic presidential candidates have called for Kavanaugh's impeachment based on the discredited Times report. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Even as the media was trying to backpedal, a number of the Democratic presidential candidates were hysterically calling for Justice Kavanaugh to be impeached.
On Twitter, Mr. Trump called for the resignation of everybody at the Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear campaign. Veteran ABC journalist Cokie Roberts has died.
What is your definition of womanizer?
Most women know it when they see it, Senator.
The legendary newscaster was 75. Roberts won three Emmys and was cited as one of the 50 greatest women in the history of broadcasting. Saturday's drone strike in Saudi Arabia took out 5% of the world's oil supply, and the ripple effect could be felt soon at a gas station near you. Janet Casilano with AAA.
We could very well see gas prices increase another 25 cents, even more, depending on that crude price point.
All the evidence points to Iran being behind the sabotage. Former CIA analyst Michael Morell says there must be a U.S. response.
This was a very significant attack, and it's not only
Iran that's under pressure here, but they can put pressure back on us. We have to deter them.
Today marks day two of the first strike against General Motors in more than a decade. 49,000 workers have hit the picket lines at 50 GM plants across the country. This job action could lead to a shortage of cars and parts. The workers are pushing for higher pay, better health care, and job security.
Nobody wants a strike, but if you force our hand by trying to take away what's ours, we got to strike. We don't have any other choice.
I believe there is power in numbers and that our movement will be felt.
The United Auto Workers Union has told its rank and file to be prepared to strike for at least 6 months. A Georgia church is planning a major building project.
They aren't putting up a new sanctuary or a fellowship hall at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Stonecrest. No, Pastor Jamal Bryant says the megachurch is about to begin building affordable housing for seniors and a medical facility on its campus. Bryant says church leaders are concerned about the rapid growth of America's aging population. For the first time in the country's history, senior citizens outnumber teenagers.
That's correspondent Michael Harrington. General Mills recalling 600,000 pounds of gold medal all-purpose flour. It's because of E. coli contamination. The flour in question sold in 5-pound bags with a use-by date of September 2020. The worst outbreak of measles this country's seen in three decades could be finally over with. Health officials say there were no new measles cases last week, while religious freedom advocates continue to fight for the right not to vaccinate. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health fears the disease could crop back up now that school is in session.
You're going to have the children come back and congregate in classrooms and things, so I'm concerned we're going to see a blip right back up.
Fears over a measles outbreak is why the New York State Legislature this year made the controversial move to eliminate the religious exemption to childhood vaccines. 25 past the hour, this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest today, Asheville, New York's Sue Colwell. For 4 years now, she's been praying for families struggling with drug addiction. 4 years later, Sue, how much of an impact do you think you've had?
I like to think I had a good impact. One person can make a difference. I believe that. I've made quite a few friends through this page, and there's a lot of people from different parts of the country that I've gotten connected with because there's so many hurting individuals, and most of mine is women because, you know, being a woman and being a mom, so most of the outreach I have is with other women, but there's so many hurting and they need a little bit of hope. And that's what a lot of the page is about, too, supporting each other.
Why don't you share with our listeners how this thing was birthed?
Well, I needed to do something. I went to the altar many Sundays and almost begging God to please use me to help people who are battling, families who are battling this addiction, because it affects everyone and it's affecting the church. And there's so many people that are silently suffering, knowing that they have a loved one, whether it be a husband, a wife, a child, another relative, that's suffering in this horrible, devastating addiction. So that's how this all started. The hurting. It's just there's so many hurting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Susan Colwell from Asheville, New York, founder of Praying for Individuals and Their Families. And is there a constant theme that you hear from the people who are who you're connecting with?
Well, the big thing is the fear. What if my loved one dies? People get clean and then they relapse. People are terrified. They're absolutely terrified of this. And many people, and we've talked about this before, enable. You do everything you possibly can to help your loved one, and a lot of times it winds up enabling them and making it worse. I want to bring as many as I can to the Lord and to see them at peace and not in this horrible turmoil.
And God is in control. We know that, Sue. And sometimes he will take something as debilitating as drug addiction, and he'll use that to draw someone to Christ. He'll do whatever it takes to get people saved. And that is the silver lining in all of this. Many times when people have hit rock bottom, they have nowhere else to go but up. And a lot of these people are more open to the gospel message because of their addiction.
Yes. And the people who become get clean, who are sober, they have such an awesome testimony of God's faithfulness carrying them through. I mean, God never promised to take things away, but he promises to carry us, and he is so faithful. The big thing for me is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And I've heard people say, all I can do is pray. But that is, to me, that's the first and most important thing that any of us, whatever the situation, whatever we're struggling with, is praying.
You are a prayer warrior, Sue. Anyone who knows you knows that to be true. 4 years later, Sue, the biggest impact that you've seen with this ministry?
The connections. I have such awesome connections with some of the women that I've met, and it's just such an honor and a privilege to be able to help carry someone, help raise their arms, offer them hope. But we can take back what the enemy has stolen, and I believe that's happening.
There's so many people that listen, Christians, who struggle with addiction, struggle with a lot of the issues that you address on your Facebook page. What would you say to those people?
Well, don't give up. Tell somebody. The devil's good at making us feel ashamed. So the importance of sharing your battle with someone, and there's many people who care. And being in the church, I think people feel like, well, I should know better, I should be better. But there's just as many hurting people in the church as anywhere else.
And if people want to find you on Facebook, how would they go about doing that?
Praying for Individuals and Families Fighting Addiction.
Sue Colwell from Asheville, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, fln.org/news. You can also download all our feature reports at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. What great news we have weather-wise for those who work or play outside. Our weather pattern probably through the weekend will be dominated by a friendly area of nearly stationary high pressure that will shield our area from rain clouds and storms for some days to come. The call for this afternoon, sunny to partly cloudy and delightful. High temperatures mainly in the lower 70s. Clear moonlit, cool again tonight, and again fog in some of the valleys overnight. Low temperatures, 40s and low 50s. For tomorrow and Thursday, beautiful. Abundant sunshine, easy to take temperatures. High tomorrow, lower 70s, mid or upper 70s then on Thursday.
We'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. Finally, Noon, if you can't beat them, join them. Wendy's jumping into the breakfast business next year. The new morning menu will include the breakfast baconator and honey butter chicken biscuits. Wendy's plans to hire 20,000 more workers to get ready for the expanded hours. The exact date of the national breakfast launch yet to be announced, but it's coming. Breakfast at Wendy's. And that's the world we live in, Tuesday, September 17th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.